Kindly take your Bibles, if you would please, tonight. Turn to Mark chapter 7. I've entitled our message tonight, Be Careful What You Put in Your Heart. Be careful what you put in your heart. And when we read our scripture tonight, I think you'll understand why I came up with this title. While you're turning, let me share some opening thoughts. You know, it's amazing what people criticize others for while excusing the same behavior in themselves. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe we've done it. It's curious that people who would do this would think that their behavior is any better than those that they've criticized. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 15, 1 through 8, that when people do that, when we do that, when we criticize others for the same behavior in ourselves, that we are what? It starts with an H. We're a hypocrite. Now, as our Lord continues to minister to the scribes and the Pharisees, as we look into Mark chapter 7, we see that these people are the leaders of the religion in Israel. They are those that people look up to, and yet oftentimes we see that these people are calling people out for certain kinds of behavior, which they are doing and more. If you want to see a very strong denunciation of those Pharisees who did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, look up Matthew 23 sometime. This is just prior to the Lord Jesus going to the cross, and he minced no words with these people who said one thing but did another. Well, we're going to see tonight that the Lord Jesus now turns his attention away from the Pharisees and the scribes, and he turns it to what we call the average person on the street, the rank and file. And he does this for two reasons. The first reason is he's already ministered to the Pharisees and the scribes. They are set in their mindset of who Jesus is, what he is doing, and what they do not like. Now, as you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we oftentimes see these people coming to the Lord Jesus, but it's not for the right reason. They come to see how they can catch him in some word or phrase or activity so that they can judge him publicly before others. Let's be honest, they're jealous of the Lord Jesus. The people were following after him rather than them. And so they weren't wanting to repent after what they heard. They weren't wanting to come to God, as Jesus said. They wanted to publicly criticize and judge him before others. But then, secondly, we look at the rank and file, the average common person like you and me. The Lord Jesus turns to them to speak to them because they were not obeying the traditions of the elders, as it is called. They understood, they were hearing, but they were not set in their hearts upon these things as these religious leaders were. And so the Lord Jesus reaches out to them because he wants them to know who he is. He wants them to understand the truths of his heavenly Father. He wants them to understand who he is and why he came. Now the reason is because the tradition or teachings of the elders were so contrary to the Word of God that people were being led astray. And that's what the Lord Jesus says to these people in Matthew 23. You go far and wide to find somebody to believe what you say, and then you grab a hold of him, and he's worse off by far than before you grabbed a hold of him. So these people were sharing things that were not of God's word, and in the process, they were putting spiritual loads, spiritual burdens on people that they could not bear. And instead of bringing them to the Father, these people were being pushed away, and many of them felt that there just was no way to God. Now, there's lots of people today who feel that way. We have to be very careful that what we share from God's word is indeed God's word and not just our opinion. We need to make sure that when we share with people that we do it in the right way. We share God's word in truth, we do it with love in our heart, and we do it with a respectful manner. And the Apostle Peter in his epistle tells us that we need to be very careful how we share so that after doing so, we do not have to go back and ask for forgiveness from the Lord or apologize to the people that we've shared with. It's very, very clear. Now, tonight as we look more into Mark chapter 7, we're going to see a very difficult problem in the lives of people. And as we get to the end of the message, we're going to draw an application to us. God's word is meant not just to put in our minds. God's word was meant to put into our hearts. Why? So that we're changed. We're changed by the way we live. Many people think that if they have all of God's word in their mind so that they can get an A on the test, that they've actually learned what God wants for them to know. But that's not true. We show that we are passing the test by a changed life. Is what we are reading being put into our hearts so that our thoughts, our attitudes, our speech, our actions, our habits, all of these things, are they being changed? Are we bringing glory to God? Or are we just riding up on our spiritual gun belt that we know this and that? God's not interested in how much we know. He's interested in how much we grow in Him. Now, would you please look with me, Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 14. Again, Jesus called the crowd to Him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him what? Unclean. By going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." Now, I need to stop here for a moment. In some translations, we have verse 16. In the New International Version, we do not have verse 16 because the translators of the NIV felt that verse 16 was not in the best manuscripts available. And so they have not included it in our text, but may I read it for you? Verse 16, Mark 7. Jesus says, "If any man has ears to hear, let him hear." The bottom line is that whatever Jesus says, you and I need to what? We need to listen. We need to hear, not just with these, but with this. We need to hear with our hearts and make sure that we act upon what He says so that our lives indeed are changed. Now, the Lord Jesus is speaking very specifically. And dear people, may I share with you that the Lord Jesus always speaks specifically. He wanted to make sure that when He shared the word from His Father, that it was clear. It was. He wanted to make sure that it was on target. It was. He wanted to make sure that these people were understanding what He was saying. Now, if there was a problem within understanding, the problem wasn't His. The problem was theirs. And there's many reasons for that. It could be pride. It could be jealousy. It could be that they just did not want to hear, just strict disobedience. And so the Lord Jesus is being very clear in what He says. And what He has to say, I'm underlining in my first point. He's saying this: "Dear people, as you look at these religious leaders and you see the traditions of the elders, the teachings of the elder, you do not build your life on the teachings of the elders. No, you build your life upon the Word of God. You build your life upon the solid foundation of the Word of God." Would there be an amen? Amen. There has to be an amen. God's word is not being taught in truth today. And in many churches, people are making things up, but they are not teaching the strict, clear, beautiful, holy, wonderful word of God. And people are being misled, just as in Mark 7. And so Jesus wants them to understand, never just build your life on the mere teachings of men. Build your life on the word of God. And that's what we want to do with our lives. Now, the problem is Israel's religious leaders had come and they were saying that the Lord Jesus' disciples were acting in a way that was not true to the traditions of the elders. And by inference, they're saying that Lord Jesus also was disobeying their teachings. They were eating with unwashed hands. Now, I won't do it tonight, but 2 weeks ago, we said what unwashed hands was like to the Pharisees and how you had to go through their process. Three different things you had to do in order to have clean hands to pick up food and to eat it. But it should have been obvious to everyone that what is expelled from the body is more unclean than that which is put into the body. You know, when we eat with unwashed hands, yes, we can't put germs. We can have traces of soil and dirt from our hands put into our bodies. But God has so made the human body in such a way that it acts as a defense for us, and many of those things are taken out of the way. Now, for a truth, these religious leaders were majoring on minors. They were picking out something that really wasn't that important, and you look at the whole teaching of the Word of God relating to men's hearts being brought to Him for eternity. But the Lord Jesus is saying, look, you're majoring on minors. Let's major on the majors. Let's major on that part which God has created that doctors can't open you up and see. And that's the spiritual heart. That's that part of us which Christ created, which is known only to God and to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at these things tonight, we're going to realize that the Lord Jesus is speaking about heart attitudes, spiritual heart attitudes and actions that these religious leaders didn't know anything about. They were majoring on minors. The Lord Jesus says, no. Major on the majors, that which comes from the Word of God. Now, what does come from the Word of God? Look with me, verse 17, Mark chapter 7. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, the disciples asked him about this parable. This is awesome. Are you so dull? He asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his what? His heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. This is important. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. So what he's saying to the disciples is, men, the condition of your physical hands before you eat is not that which is important. Yes, cleanliness is good. We should eat with washed hands. But what's on your hands is not going to defile the spiritual part of your life. What defiles a person is an impure heart. Is an impure heart. And the Lord Jesus gave us 13 things that show a heart to be impure. Now, the Lord moved away again from the crowds and the critics. He moves into a house. He's now got his disciples, and he's pouring his life into them. They were smart enough to understand that the Lord Jesus was speaking more of just dirty hands, that there was something deeper that went there, but they couldn't figure it out. And when the Lord Jesus says that they were dull, it meant that they were without understanding. They lacked that comprehension that he wanted them to have. Now, as the Lord begins to speak about the spiritual condition of the heart, he prefaces it with the natural physical function of expelling waste. I have down here, isn't it a marvel of creation how Almighty God has created our bodies? Now, to some people, as they think of what we're talking about here, it's embarrassing. They would not like to even think of it. But listen, God has created this miraculous human body to do certain things, and when it works properly, it keeps us in good health. These men weren't looking at that. Only God could have created this magnificent instrument that we call the human body. Aren't you glad he created it and not man? My goodness, we would have been in a plant, and who knows where these members would have come from or where they would have gone. But God created us in his image. He breathed into us the breath of life. All of these things function inside of us for a particular reason. And because they work together, you and I can live a productive daily life. And so he says, men, it's not these beautiful things, these hands that are dirty, that defiles a person. Now, I quickly need to share this. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus is now sharing something which is very important down the road. We know that Mark is writing this gospel under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit used the personal eyewitness testimony of Peter to share with Mark who the Lord Jesus was and what he had done. So that after the day of Pentecost, we see that there's a change. There's a change in the dietary laws of the Old Testament. In verse 19, it says, "For it doesn't go into his heart," meaning the food, "but into his stomach, and then out of his body." In this saying, Jesus declared all foods clean. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit took up residence in believers' life, Jew and Gentile. In the Old Testament economy, the Holy Spirit came upon the people of God to fulfill what he wanted done. But from the day of Pentecost on, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our life. From the day of Pentecost on, the dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles was broken down through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And instead of being two men, they became one. There was no division between them and God. And thirdly, instead of working through the nation of Israel, made up of Jews, he's now working through Jews and Gentiles, which make up the church. And the church is the vehicle by which the gospel of Christ is taken to the world, that they can understand who Jesus is and receive him into their hearts and lives. Now, after the day of Pentecost, it was very difficult for Jews to partake of food that earlier had been said was unclean. And we find in Acts 10, and I can't go into it because we don't have time, but you remember before Cornelius came to see Peter, the Lord gave him a vision of a sheet being let down from heaven, and it was filled with all sorts of foods. And the Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, eat." And Peter says, "No, Lord, I can't. That is unclean." He says, "Do not call unclean what I have made." And then as Cornelius comes, and we know how the story unfolds, and Peter goes and witnesses to the Gentiles so that they now become one in Jesus Christ through faith in his name. These things that were once unclean, the Lord Jesus says, do not declare it unclean. They are now clean and possible for us to eat by his grace. Well, let us know that beyond even this fantastic truth of a change in how God works in the hearts of men from the day of the law to the day of grace, he's wanting these disciples of him to get the true picture, not of the physical hands, but of the spiritual heart. Men, you've got to understand something. There's something that God has placed in you. It's something that causes you to act and to live in such a way, either to glorify him or to dishonor him. Well, what do we know about this spiritual heart? Very quickly, look once again, verse 20. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts come, and he lists 13 negative things: evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Dear people, what a wretched list this is that can be found in the human heart. And think of it, these things can be found in your heart and my heart. Some people would say, "Well, now wait a minute. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. None of these things would be found in my heart." Really? In a minute, I'm going to give you three examples of how believers in Jesus Christ acted in a most ungodly way. The thing we need to understand is that as believers in Jesus Christ, these things, these negative things, these horrible things, could still be present in our lives if it wasn't for the grace of God and if it wasn't for the restraining power of the Holy Spirit who works in us to draw us to Himself. But for that to happen, He needs a yielded vessel. God is a gentleman. He never forces Himself upon His people. He invites us to come to Him, to believe in Him, to yield to Him. And so through the grace of God and through the personal, powerful ministry of the Holy Spirit, as we yield to Him, He keeps us from these wretched things. Now, what were the three examples of believers in Christ who acted in a very ungodly way? First, what about the believer in the city of Corinth who is sleeping with his stepmother? Remember that story? 1 Corinthians 5. The church was proud of it, Paul says in verse 3. He says, this is not even named among unbelievers. You are not only allowing this man to sleep with his stepmother, you're proud that he's doing it. That's these verses. Then secondly, what about the church in Galatia? They were also like the church in Corinth. They were always at each other's throats. And in Galatians 4:15, Paul says this to the church in Galatia. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. It gets worse. We go to the book of James. As James writes to believers that are scattered throughout, and in James 4:1-3, he says this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something and don't get it. Now notice, you kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask God, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So these horrible attitudes and actions can be in the heart of the believer and working if we are not yielded to the powerful personal ministry of the Holy Spirit. As I thought of this, I couldn't help but go back to what Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to what? Devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You and I only have to look within ourselves to realize that these things in Matthew 7:20-22 are lurking within our hearts. And it is only by the grace of God and the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit that keeps us close to Him so that we do not express these attitudes and actions as we live our daily life. And as you look into the New Testament and the Old Testament for that matter, it says, take heed lest you what? Fall. In other words, nobody is above falling. We all are. We all need the sustaining, strong hand of the ministry of the Holy Spirit taking care of this. Now, as the Lord speaks to His disciples, He gives them the summation of His argument in verse 23. Would you look there with me, please? Jesus said, all these evils come from where? Inside, and make a man unclean. Now, the Pharisees and scribes were not the least bit concerned. These that came that day were not the least bit concerned about their spiritual hearts. Sadly, they were only concerned about their appearance before others. And that's a very dangerous thing. That's also a very easy thing for you and I to fall into. We just live a certain way so that we appear as those who are fellowshipping with Christ, instead of humbling ourselves before Him on a regular basis and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and put His finger on those areas of our lives that need to be brought to His intention, that need to be confessed and cleansed. And then as He picks us up, we rejoice that we now can be used of Him. So these Pharisees in Mark 7, they were concerned only with appearances. It consumed them. But to the disciples, the Lord Jesus says, "Men, you need to be concerned that your spiritual heart is right with me. Because if it isn't, this is what can come out of your life." Now, the Lord Jesus desires that we are concerned about our spiritual hearts. How could we do this? What's the process? Two things. First, an evil action begins with a single thought. An evil action can begin with a single thought. Allowing our minds to dwell on lust, hatred, greed, bitterness, or revenge, and so on, will lead to sin. And so, secondly, rather than focusing on evil, the Lord Jesus and the other authors in the New Testament tell us that our focus needs to be on the Word of God. It needs to be upon those things that change our lives for the glory of God, encourage others of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and bring a testimony to those who do not know the Lord Jesus that He indeed is alive, that He can and will make a difference in their lives if we will but let Him. Now, what's a passage of Scripture that you and I could pray every day, perhaps many times every day, that will help us keep our hearts and our minds focused on Christ? Would you quickly turn with me to Philippians 4:8, and then I close. Philippians 4:8. This is a powerful passage of Scripture. Again, Paul's writing to a church that has some difficulty. Two ladies are having a problem, and their problem is dividing the church. And Paul wants them to realize that's not the kind of things coming out of their spiritual heart that God wants. He wants these things. Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brothers." In fact, if you have the NIV, would you read it with me, please? "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things." The word "think" just doesn't mean a momentary thing. The word "think" means that I set my mind on these things, not only to put them in my head, but to put them away in my heart, so that when I am tempted, the Holy Spirit can remind me of those things that are to be inside of me. These are the attitudes and actions which keep our hearts right before Christ, encourage one another, and glorify God in the world. If we are desiring these things, then our spiritual hearts will bring glory to Him, and we will rejoice at what He is doing in our lives. Dear people, may that be our desire this week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it's clear. Lord Jesus, we thank You for that part of our bodies which nobody can see but You, our spiritual hearts. We know it's there because the Holy Spirit shows us it's there through the study of Your Word and through His speaking quietly to our hearts. And You've also made it possible for us to know when we are violating that spiritual heart. Lord, we don't want to do that. We want our hearts to glorify Your name. So, Lord, as we, and I'm including myself here, as we go out into the world this week, May our hearts literally be focused on that which praises you. Dear Lord, we want to honor you this week. We humbly ask these things and pray them in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen.